Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, I want to be able to talk about a biblical perspective, biblical wise perspective, God's news behind the news. As I was pondering this and just praying over it and trying to type as many notes as I could that kind of made sense, and I began to ponder the fact that where's the church in all this? Where's the church? Where are we in this? Do we just sit silently by while everything falls apart and goes to hell in a handbasket and we end up in some destructive place? Or are we supposed to preach the gospel, supposed to be able to bring insight? Does not God speak to us and give us wisdom and insight and response? Aren't kings supposed to come to our light and seek wisdom for what God is saying? Didn't even Jehoshaphat wait and say, is there not a prophet in the place before we go to war here? I mean, think about it. God does speak, and it's like we got to hear what he's saying. We aren't supposed to sit silently by. God will speak to us and share with us wisdom, and we're supposed to share that wisdom with leaders and those that we choose to be able to represent us and understand what we're facing here at this one moment when they're talking about, firing weapons into a small country called Syria over a very small country named Israel. We got to really get a biblical perspective over this, because World War II and World War I started with so much less happenings. We have had so many Archduke Ferdinand moments right now. It's like the enemy is trying to push us. Satan is trying to push this world into war. And it's like we're not even thinking this thing through. God, and this is what Jehoshaphat would do. This is what David would do. And those that would love God, they would say, let's go find out what God is saying here. Let's don't do nothing unless God is telling us what to do. And so let's just begin to explore that. We all know in part and we prophesy in part, but let's get a biblical perspective, because I see Christians who love God not thinking things through, and we're saying things that seem very ungodly about our leadership, or saying things that are ungodly about the horrific tragedy of human beings being gassed, not just women and children, but men, women, and children, being this is horrific. And so if we don't talk in context, if we don't talk in wisdom, if we don't slow down and put our speech together with wisdom, then we're gonna sound evil. And we're called to be compassionate. God is a just God and brings justice. Now, how that justice comes, if we seek God and God tells us how that justice is supposed to come. We're not man's judge. America's only 5% of the world's population. But we do seek God, who is the judge, and say, obviously this is a huge injustice and it needs to be dealt with. But we got to consider, context, because remember, God is just. He is very just. And so we have to begin to talk about a biblical narrative here. You talk about political narratives and war narratives, and the narrative we need is, let's talk in the conversation of the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And the first thing is that we're hearing people are saying that, we should not be spending our money on other countries while we have children in our own country that need to be educated. It's like, excuse me, ma'am. If a child was just gassed and his skin peeled off, and their lungs turn inward, and their bowels release, and their eyes roll back in their head, and they suffocated to death because of chemicals, because somebody can't read right now, that is not A1 on the priority. And as a Christian, and as a church, we got to say, okay, this is an injustice. Don't skip over it, no matter what it is, because remember, God loves every man on the face of this earth. He doesn't love you more than he loves them, and love your children more than he loves them. He loves us all. And so we have to realize injustice just happened to mankind. Human beings, people who God loves, created the image and likeness of God, they suffered at the hands of someone who God knows who did this. He knows. The United Nations doesn't know. And if they do, they're not telling. They're saying we don't know. Our leaders are saying, We are almost definitely, almost accurately, possibly. Is it 100% your representatives asked? And they said, well, nothing's 100%. And so the first thing I want to say is, this is what Jesus says about money. Use it to help people while you have it, not to hoard it. And making statements like, well, we need money, we're in debt, and we just have to let this injustice happen, that is not of God. That would not be a God perspective. I mean, you think about it, and there is no comparison, but they're comparing it, so I'm going to talk about it. That's kind of the perspective America took when Israel, and we're going to talk more about that, when Israel was suffering, being gassed and being put on trains. And it's even reported that as a train went by a church, filled, packed like sardines with Jews going to this concentration camp, they were screaming and hollering, and the church just turned their music up louder because of the noise that was going on. So knowing that that happened, that huge injustice happened, and I'm going to talk about that because they're comparing it, that we want to turn our music down. We want to get our knees on the ground. We want to acknowledge that there's an injustice. I mean, they're saying this could be something like that, so we need to be able to think about it. And money should never be the reason why we don't help someone, so we can have it and they can't have it to be helped. Period. Jesus says, listen, the wise steward is the one that realizes in the future he ain't going to have nothing.
Right.
So he better use what he does have to be able to help people. Listen, if there's injustice, we should help people. If increase comes from God, God's going to take care of those who take care of his and handle injustices that take place. And so we have to remember, take that into context that, okay, yeah, and even that, there was a whole ship full of Jews that were coming to America because of Hitler coming against the Jews, and America turned the boat away only for them to be destroyed. You know, first they went to Cuba, the country west of Cuba.
Dominican Republic?
Dominican. And then they came to Florida, and then reportedly they were all destroyed.
Yeah.
So we have to pay attention. It looks like, you know, and this is let me tell you right now, I'm gonna tell you up front, give you a commercial about where I'm going. The enemy is stealing authentic narratives. He is stealing people's true pain. He is stealing what we know to be true, and he's using it to fulfill his vision, his desires, which are evil in the earth. And the confusing part, if you can't hear God, you can't dissect between the true narrative of what happened in our history and how the enemy's perverting the narrative and mixing it together and constantly putting it out as if this is the same thing. You have to be able to dissect it. I mean, even like the civil rights movement is being held hostage and used for things that Dr. King never even thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't tell you what he thought about, but what his speeches even was about. And it's like, my goodness, that's what he did and what the folks did in America for America was beautiful, and the sacrifice was huge. And somebody distilled that narrative and put it on something else, I'm telling you, and that's what's happening right here. We're having a narrative in the world, a gassing narrative, stolen, and we won't talk about it. But if we stand by and do nothing, and allow someone to be gassed, a citizen now we're talking about some military soldiers that are fighting each other in a civil war in a country, but just people in that country that are being gassed and do nothing. God's a just God. Do you really think that in the future we will not see that same situation?
Right.
Do you not think that our soldiers, when they go to war, that all of a sudden, instead of worrying about a bullet or worrying about a bomb or worrying about a grenade or worrying about some whatever, that all of a sudden there's a big cloud that comes their way that hadn't happened since 1925? Don't think that if we don't respond, you know, this is a huge injustice, but I can't help, and I don't know in the natural sense, but what God's revealing to me, the narrative is being stolen, and it is a righteous statement, but my concern is it's not a righteous motive. You have to understand this. We're hearing over and over again from our leaders that the Arab League stands with supports the United States all by itself going into a different hemisphere just north of Israel in Syria to be able to fire bombs into a civilian population. It's like, who is this Arab League? I talked about this the other day. You have to understand the Arab League is 22 nations, one of which is Syria, who's suspended now. In other words, one of Assad, the king of Syria, one of their own folks has gone rogue here. And you think the other 21 nations who have all this money and all this military, who are saying they support us to come into their hemisphere to be able to deal with the consequences of this injustice, it should be the other way around. I mean, logic and wisdom says, wait a minute, look how huge you are. We're talking about Morocco and Libya and Chad and Egypt and Iraq and Iran and Jordan and Lebanon and, you know, Sudan and all these different countries. I can't even name it. 21, 22. And they know Assad. They sat at the table with Assad. He was one of their group. He was one of the Arab League, so they would even know how to deal with him. They know more than we would know in the context of that. Mm. And this needs to be responded to. But how in the world, because our leaders are saying over and over again, that we have to respond to this. We cannot sit idly by. At the same time, they're saying, but we're not going to touch the man who actually we say unequivocally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, unquote, that gassed these folks, his own people. It's like, okay, you're going to punch me for what he did? You're going to kill more women and children? You're going to do the same thing he did?
Right.
And that's going to show him something? If Hitler is gassing folks, if Hitler in Germany is gassing people, don't kill Germans.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna bring justice to Hitler.
Right.
Who, by the way, was such a coward he took a pill.
Right.
It makes no sense. Why would you serve justice on hurting innocent Syrian people, risking more women and children? 100,000 people have died in this civil war. They're reporting that over 1,000 has been affected, right at 1,000 have been poisoned by this chemical gas and killed. But how in the world letting the one that, you know, I'm not saying I know, I'm just saying what they're saying as you watch them speak on at Congress. And before Congress, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and Secretary of Defense, and the head general. And they're talking about, they know. And it's like, why are you punching me for what they did? Why? If you said he killed women and children and it's bad, we agree with you. But if you're going to harm somebody, harm him. Don't harm more women and children. You said that's, why would you launch bombs in there? And at the same time, knowing the injustices that are taking place, knowing that you're going to embolden, unquote, this is the words, you're going to embolden the opposition. In other words, that the people supposedly that are coming against the king in this civil war over there, King Assad, that there's some righteous folks. I mean, you can see their leaders. Watch video of one of their leaders that reportedly that America has gotten behind in some way through this person and that person who kills one of the opponents, cuts out his heart, and takes a bite out of it.
Yeah. Mm.
You have to understand, this is satanic. All of this stuff, this is a dark, dark place. And the scene where that they're shooting video and they're putting it up of all these different things that are taking place, and I was watching where they took these prisoners. They took these prisoners, you know, one force took another force's prisoners, and they have them all in one area. So you have all these Syrians and or possible soldiers that came into Syria, but all Muslims, based on what their confession was at that moment. But surrounded, they're on the ground, some of them are shot, some of them are they're all alive, and they're screaming and they're hollering, of course. And then the people around them have guns over them, and then this is what they're all saying. The ones on the ground who are about to be shot, the ones wounded on the ground about to be shot, the ones standing around the ones about to shoot them, they're all saying the same thing. Mm. Ali Akbar. Mm. They're all crying out to a God that's not answering. The one who's on the ground is crying out to a God that's not answering. Listen, the Quran says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then you are actually denying Muhammad as a prophet of God, and you're saying that the Quran is not the book of God.
Right.
And these guys who are crying out and they feel in their heart they're serving God, the God that they're serving, look what's happening to them. They're all, imagine, okay, just move the Arab language away. And imagine it being English or Spanish, whatever language you speak. And so you have these people on the ground and these people standing around, and they're all in this battle and this tussle, and they all believe they're doing God's work. Mm. And the person on the ground is going, Jesus, 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 help us, Jesus, Jesus, help us. They're bleeding and they know they're about to be shot. And then the soldiers standing around them with guns about to shoot them are going, Jesus, we love you. We're doing this in your name, Jesus. We're doing this in your name, Jesus. And then the people on the ground, Jesus, help us. They're about to kill us. They're about to kill us. And then all of a sudden up in and then the people standing up, and they're going, they're saying very specifically, they're saying, just give you the comparison here. And they're going, Jesus, we're going to kill these guys in your name. God, we're going to kill these guys in your name. And that's what's going on. I mean, just you can't understand the language. That's what they're saying. And then all of a sudden, they start firing shots at these men that are on the ground, young boys, men, all different ages. And they killed their own brothers in the name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
While they're all crying out to him. While they're all crying out to them. Listen, we are walking in to something. Originally, we could have walked in with hope and light and with the gospel and a city on a hill. But now we're embracing. We're embracing that same confusion, that same Islamic, Muslim radicalism. We're saying that it's quote, the president at Cairo University, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to defend negative stereotypes of Islam anywhere, to fight against any negative stereotypes of Islam anywhere in the world that's found.
Mm.
Our president, that's Cairo University, our president, the United Nations, says the future must not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet Muhammad. Well, this is what they consider blaspheming. Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to God. The Quran's not the word of God. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is the word of God. Guess what? Imprisonment. People in prison right now, they consider that blaspheme. So our president openly makes this statement. And so I'm talking about context of what's going on right here. So you have the Arab League that surrounds, these nations surround Israel. These nations surround Israel. We're embracing Islam. That confusion that's taking place in Syria. We're saying we need to kill more women and children to be able to satisfy. We're not going to deal with Hitler. We're not going to deal with Assad that everybody's saying. And that's what they're saying, that he's the one that did this. The United Nations is not saying this. And that's the answer, to keep him in power and then to embolden somebody that appears that they're going to be willing just to destroy even Syrian people to the point of cutting their chest open and bite and just the evil. It's just the devil running wild in the name of a God that does not exist.
Wow.
But Jesus said, there'll be a day that people kill you thinking they're doing me a favor.
Mm.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. We're just talking about context here, because we're speaking out of turn. Some things that we're saying is not good. And finally, when we're looking at this, we need to turn, of all the people that we can turn to, of all the people we can turn to on the earth who would understand and have empathy towards what's going on, and wisdom and military might to be able to deal with this with balance, would be Israel.
Right.
Who was gassed?
Mm.
Who is right next to them? Who understands through their own lineage, having family members that have been wrongly and justly gassed and killed and destroyed. We shouldn't be just having them in the mix. We should be saying, what do you think? How do you think we should handle this? Whether we did it publicly or privately, and privately so that they wouldn't get the credit for, they wouldn't have to get the blame for right. how it all turned out. But who would know better? Have you been to the Holocaust Museum? Who would know better than the Jews who've done such a beautiful job of carrying the truth along and how to handle this situation and then kind of submit to their lead in this? To submit to their lead in this. And they're real wise. I mean, the wisdom would say, you know, what is Prime Minister Netanyahu saying? Why is he saying it? What is their military forces saying? Listen, you don't need to follow our lead from this other hemisphere. We want to follow your lead from this hemisphere over here.
No doubt.
And it makes me think of context. I remember when the Lord was speaking to me years ago, very specifically, and he told me, I was so amazed in how he spoke to me that one particular time, but I heard the audible voice where he said, always look at context. Always look at context in regards to his word and scripture. And you think about it. If God's word can be misused, misunderstood, and could be used to destroy and mislead people when it's used out of context, let me tell you about men's word and men's decisions. They have to always be considered in the context of what's going on. What is their fruit? What is their vision? Who are their friends? I mean, you can't just... We're comparing things to previous presidential administrations. You can't do that. You have to think every president's an individual, and they think differently and they operate differently. So you can't just say, "Well, this is how so and so would handle it." And just you got to wait a minute. What have you done up to this point? Mm-hmm. What's been going on? We're talking about potentially sending our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers to war. No matter what people tell you, this is how they start. This is how you get involved. Have you been to the funeral of any of the soldiers and held the mothers and the children who lost their lives at Iraq and Afghanistan? Have you walked with those who lost their legs and their arms and their whole life as they knew it? Are you aware that right now, reportedly, there's 1 million vets who have been not taken medically into care at VA, the Veterans Administration, because their system is overwhelmed right now? I'm not saying, no doubt, we need to deal with this horrific tragedy. I am saying consider the context and deciding how you're going to respond to it. And who should take the lead in this? There has never been a leader in America that has so rapidly led us down a road from God, his ways, and into the arms of Islam, those who speak openly about the destruction of America, about embracing and empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, all the way from Egypt, all the way up, swinging around the breeze, the spring breeze, going up to Syria and around. One who consults with, reportedly, a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood before even going to speak to Israel. I'm not saying that anyone, including American president, can't be free to exercise their faith under the First Amendment. I'm just saying we have to take into context, what does the Islamic faith say, which we have openly embraced as part of the context of the decision, because everybody in Syria is crying out to this Islamic God, the ones that are being on the ground crying out, the ones whose hearts being cut out, the one who's cutting out the heart, the leader of Syria is crying out to this God, and our president is embracing this God and embracing those who embrace this God. Whose Quran says that the Jews and Christians are infidel. The unbeliever is infidel. They either convert, go into servitude, pay a tax, or die. Why would you want to walk into an environment like that without having clarity about who you are as a people? The first international speech in Cairo, Egypt, of our president, the first thing he did was go to Egypt, Cairo University, and pave a way for Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, to take presidency and take out the president of Egypt. And the people today cry out after removing him and saying, why did your president, why did you do this to us? You put a terrorist in power over us. Now they protest our streets, Christians and Egyptians side by side, crying out saying, why did you put the Muslim Brotherhood over us? And now we're asking the question, why are we going to go there and embolden the Muslim Brotherhood to come against Assad, who Iran is supporting? Yes, there's different names for it. But look, they're all crying out to the same God. Mm-hmm. They all think they're doing Allah a favor. They're all doing it in the name of their God. While at the same time, the United Nations has a voting bloc in it, which means a majority always has a majority, always has a majority, always has a majority that would back the Arab League. That's why you say all these things coming against Israel, because there's more Muslim nations on the United Nations that has a voting bloc, a majority voting bloc, and they're constantly, which means this, the United Nations is predominantly Muslim majority. The Arab League is all Muslim nations. They're surrounding it. They're right there. Syria was part of it. Assad was sat at the table with them. We should be supporting them. They should be on the front lines. We're being used as a battering ram in the vision of establishing a caliphate in these days in the nation. And we're so blind that our nation has been honed and beat and just molded to be a battering ram to shove right in the middle of all this mess. And the church sits silently. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour, but consider the context of what's going on. We're going to talk about Jerusalem and Israel and Syria and how they're 90 miles apart and how God is going to judge us, a nation, for how we responded to Israel. As Christians, we don't need to jump on the political wagon. We don't need to jump on the popular wagon. We need to stay on God's side. And God is a just God, and God wants justice. But God is the one who issues justice, and we have to spend time with him to find out what it is. We have to ponder the narrative we need to walk in is the narrative of God, not the political narrative. And all they're trying to do is constantly just buy into narratives and historical narratives that are accurate and true are being prostituted and used today and put over unauthentic happenings, and people are beginning to see them as what the other thing was, and it's not the same thing, but it is an injustice. So you have to look at it clearly, like, what is this particular incident? And so I'm talking about, in regards to, you know, obviously America is at the throes of, are we going to begin to fire? I mean, every war starts with one shot. World War I and World War II started, oh my goodness, a microcosm of what's been happening today. This whole world is on the edge. It's on the edge. Every way you could think of, it's on the edge. And there's still men who want to rule the world. Mm-hmm. They want to restructure the world. And there's technology today that helps people fulfill their evil desires to want to rule the world. But remember, Satan told Jesus, he said, listen, all these kingdoms have been given to me. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Jesus didn't call him a liar. He just said, don't think so. Mm-hmm. So don't be confused, men, from that moment on, from the time, the beginning of time, you know, men have wanted to rule over and rule the world. And so we're seeing today where this horrific tragedy took place. Reportedly over 1,000 people, right? 1,000 people were gassed, women, children, and men. But also 100,000 people have been killed in this civil war taking place in Syria. And you got to catch this whole part that I talked about, because I don't want to repeat everything that happened in the first hour. You just got to connect the two and listen to it in its entirety. But understand this, you got to consider context of making this decision. What's the biblical perspective? So that you can actually call your representatives and say, listen, and just allow them to listen to this, or just tell them yourself, you know, pray about it and get a biblical perspective of what's going on, because all of us are surrounding Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100,000 people have been killed already. 1,000 have been killed instead of being blown to pieces and cut in two, or, you know, their hearts cut out and chewed on by the adversary. And that's actually happened. These, which is, by the way, it's just very horrifically evil as well. all of a sudden now 1,000 of the 100,000 were killed, which the United Nations says we don't know how, who did this, but were definitely killed by chemical weapons. And everybody's trying to figure out how to respond to this. Understand that Israel now is totally surrounded by the Arab League, which is 22 nations, Islamic nations, who mean Islamic nations means this, that the Quran is their law. You know, Muhammad is their prophet, and a caliphate is their goal. I mean, they want to be able to operate under that political system established by the Quran, which, by the way, is against anybody who's not Muslim. You know, it basically says in the Quran three things: convert to Islam, or become a slave, a servant to Islam, and pay a tax, or die.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to Jews, you know, they're supposed to be destroyed according to Islam, according to the Quran. And Christians are considered infidels and blasphemers according to their religion, because we acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only way to God. And they say that there is no Jesus as the Son of God. There's just Jesus as a prophet. So they're anti Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you claim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's considered blasphemy against the against their prophet Muhammad. Hence, when we have a president who stands in the United Nations and proclaims this statement, you can hear the statement on the VFN Torch. Our president said the future does not belong to a people who blasphemes the prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I could coexist with somebody who, you know, serves whatever God they want to. But if you imprison me and beat me and kill me and put me in servitude because I worship the God who I worship through Jesus Christ, we can't coexist if that's our plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, you can't people say it's a peaceful religion. You got to read it. You got to read the Quran. You can find out a comparison. You go to the VFN Torch and just type in, you know, the Quran versus the Bible, and just look at the comparison of the two. It's the antithesis of the Bible. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you had soldiers that were surrounding these men they caught, and they were fixing to kill them in Syria, and they're all crying out for Allah. They're all crying out, you know, Ali Akbar, and they're all in their own minds and their own hearts. They all obviously are thinking, my last words have to be this, because this is what I'm told. If I die in the name of Allah, then I will go to heaven and I will be rewarded.
Mm.
And so the last thing on their lips that they want to be able to say, this is why when the terrorist planes were flown into the Twin Towers, that you hear them saying the very same thing, because if you die in the name of Allah, this is actually a good thing in their religion. And which means that we're walking into something that is major. We're embracing something that is against anything that's not Islamic. We've empowered this. The Egyptian people blame us for empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, but you can watch it. We knew it. I told you prophetically before the world even knew it. On VFN Radio, we told you on VFN Radio, on VFN TV, you can see every bit of it before it happened. This will build your confidence to continue to listen, to understand how to prepare for tomorrow. But we're the reason. Our current leadership is the reason why we've embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. We've embraced Islam as a peaceful religion. And there are peaceful Muslims, and there are, but the ones who are radical and part of the Muslim Brotherhood and who believe the Quran from cover to cover and are loyal to Muhammad, it's going to be a different encounter. And so now Israel is surrounded, a piece of land that's 90 miles wide, I guess, approximately at its widest point. Syria is on its northern border. The whole world's pointing its guns at Syria, which is like 1 millimeter off Jerusalem with the pointing of a gun. We're floating in the Mediterranean now with our big, huge ships, our power, our strength now. which now means everybody, every side of Israel is now surrounded by those who embrace Islam, because we've opened our arms and we've totally embraced Islam too. And we embrace what Islam believes and the Muslims believe about Jerusalem and Judea. And the reason why that happened is when you think about when we were, America was choosing our leader, behind them, when they were deciding whether Jerusalem would be accepted as the capital, would America, you know, what is America going to say? And you think about it. And they discovered, when they looked at the rules and the platform, they said, they realized, obviously, behind the scenes, that Jerusalem was no longer acknowledged as the capital of Israel. And so a minister stands up, a Christian minister, Methodist minister, who probably, you know, I think he's even a former governor, I'm not sure. In the midst of all the Americans there, one American stands up and he says, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion on behalf of America and behalf of the president, who feels the same way, that we put Jerusalem back in the platform, that we believe that it should be the capital of Israel. So he's making a motion, Robert's Rules of Order. They end up taking a vote. All those that are for, yay. And the room says, you know, some were for. All those opposed, and there was more no's than there were yeses.
Mm.
We're talking about our guns are probably proverbially 1 millimeter off, pointing at Israel, at Jerusalem. Not just Israel, but Jerusalem. These chemical weapons are right on top. Damascus is right 90 miles out of Haifa. Israel's now surrounded by those who embrace the Islamic faith, including now America, whose view of Israel is obvious. And so they come out and take a vote again because they realize the no's won it. And the no's got louder. And finally they just pushed it through, even though the lady said, you got to give them what they, you got to give them what they said. And they went and said, okay, the yeas have it. And they didn't. And then all of a sudden, you see this man who's holding a sign. The sign says Arab American, who obviously he embraces Islam and he embraces the views of Israel. He stands up and he profiles this pastor in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at him. He points at him. He takes a picture of him and they boo as loud as they can for them pushing through what? Jerusalem as the capital. Listen, we are on the edge. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but our president is embracing Islam. He's embracing the Quran. He's embracing those who want to destroy Israel, who actually boo a Christian minister who stands up and acknowledges what God acknowledges in Joel. And nobody even knows it. Mom, if you hear right now, listen to the president. This is the president speaking at the United Nations. The United Nations is our president, who now has warships sitting outside of Israel in the Mediterranean at the United Nations. Listen up.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
You hear that? That was his voice. The future must not belong to those who blaspheme the name of the prophet of Islam. Well, you have to understand, a lot of times people think blasphemy is when you're like, you're saying bad things about them. No, actually just not acknowledging them as God.
Mm.
That's be considered blasphemy. This man who just said that at the United Nations, September, by the way, 1 year ago, now has his warship sitting on the west side of Israel. And we have Americans, Christians, they're talking about. You think this is, the enemy's a deceiver. You're thinking Syria, but you got to understand they're thinking Israel. You're talking Syria, but then their heart is Jerusalem doesn't deserve to exist in the hands of the Jews. I'm just telling you what I know prophetically. I'm not telling you that all of a sudden I have some physical evidence of this. I'm just telling you what God says, that says that Israel will be surrounded on every side by the nations. And who would ever thunk that a day would happen that somebody like America would embrace Islam, which was the original battle that we fought. And that's why Marines are called leathernecks, because they put leather straps around their necks when they went out to fight Islam, because they would cut off the head of the Marines. So the Marines would put leather bands around their necks so that when you couldn't cut their neck off.
Wow.
That's why they're called leathernecks. That was the original war we didn't want to get into. We had to get into because of this kind of stuff. And now we're embracing it. We're embracing it. We're talking about a biblical perspective. God's news behind the news. Listen, man thinks one thing, but God knows everything. There's something going on here. Maybe those involved may not even know what's going on. But the truth is, God knows what's going on. Our defenses have been weakened. We've embraced our enemies who publicly say they want to destroy America. This is not good. We must pray for the protection of Israel. You better get a dollar bill over that border to Israel. God better see you doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Get up with CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Find out CUFI. You can go to our website, vfntv.com, and find out how you can connect and partner with those who are partnering with Israel. You need to pray. Your prayers count. That's why the enemy's got you not even thinking about praying for Israel. Because history will be judged on how we deal or don't deal with Israel. Support Israel. Pray for the families of these 100,000 victims, these victims of the Civil War. In Syria. And begin to pray and speak to your representatives and say, did you ever think about getting the Arab League? Let's just stand behind the Arab League, since they are part of the same national league over there. And we just support them and their money and their soldiers and their wisdom and their relationship with King Assad. And if anything, don't kill the Syrian people, because Assad did something. I mean, if anybody deserves to be disciplined directly, it would be King Assad. It wouldn't be the innocent women and children who are wondering if you're going to bomb there or not. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Christians are being persecuted. And our nation is reportedly not doing anything. The Kurds, American Kurds, are on being interviewed going, they want to get a visa to get out, but they can't get out. America will not accept them. What are you saying? You're seeing JJ, and we'll talk about that, the Jews and Jesus. This is what's going on. The true persecution is against those who are gods. Possessive. And finally, I want to say this. Well, it's two things. I want to say this. Finally, to compare how the Jews were gassed by Hitler to what's happening in Syria couldn't be any further than the truth. But they're taking the narrative. They're taking the narrative of how unjust and how evil what Hitler did to the Jews in Germany in the concentration camps, and they're comparing it to this, what's happening in Syria. Israel was not at war with Germany. The Jews were not at war with Germany. They were upstanding citizens. They worked, they lived, they played. They were your neighbor. They owned businesses, employed Germans. They were blessed, and they blessed others. This is a totally different environment. They weren't harming anybody, and nobody should have been harming them. It was because they were hated by Hitler, and they were hated by Satan, because they were God's people, and his hate was coming to this man called Hitler. He so hated these upstanding citizens that he forced them to begin to wear an identity patch on them that identified them as Jews. It was a progressive thing. You first had to identify them. And then for a while, if they were comfortable with that, and everybody said, okay, those are the ones that we're going to progressively come against. But they didn't know that. They just thought, hey, this is just to help us. We're just trying to help you here. It wasn't longer, wasn't much longer, till all of a sudden their homes were snatched from them. Suddenly, everything was taken from them, and they were walking down the streets. I mean, they were left their businesses, their homes, their neighborhoods, their friends, and everybody, and they're walking down the street with a patch on there identifying that these are God's people, and they're throwing manure at them, and they're cursing at them, and they're spitting on them because they bought into the propaganda of Hitler. This was what was happening, and they were going and marching to a ghetto where they were going to force them to live like 10 families in one particular room. This is nothing like Syria. They're marching down to the ghetto. They move them into this locked-in small 10-family per apartment and force them to live their life in the context of that. Now, they totally separated. First, they verbally separated Israel. Then they visually separated them with a mark on them. Then they tangibly separated them while leaving them close by in a ghetto. That it's not over. And then suddenly they begin to take the men out of the ghetto, and they said they're going to get back together again. But they were actually taking them and killing them and taking them to what I'm going to tell you they're taking them to. And then finally they got them all, and they put them in a train, and they made them convince them, we're going to take you to a safe place. We're going to take you to a safe place where, you know, all this hate that we stirred up against you, that's what was going on. We're going to concentrate you in an area. So they carry all their luggage, and they're going to get on this train like you would get on a train, and they didn't realize they're fixing to pack them into a cargo train like sardines, and just throw their luggage out in a big stack of stuff. And there was just bodies piled there. So many bodies that people died and suffocated as they drove them to this place. They said there was going to be security. And when they arrived, it was a field. It was a piece of land that they put barbed wire around. And it had these different places inside of it that people were potentially staying in. And they got off the train and said, I know you're hot. And I'm sure you're dirty. And you want to get a shower. So they walked them right into a place where they could get a shower, they thought. And then they walked into this room, and there was hooks on the wall, and they had hooks where you could hang your clothes, which you would do in a shower, and they hung their clothes. And as they stood under the shower nozzles to take a shower after this whole long journey, instead of water coming out, gas came out and killed them, gassed the Jews. And then they threw their bodies in ovens and threw them in mass graves. Sir, there's no comparison. No comparison to what happened with the gassing of the innocent Jews in Germany and the civil war taking place in Syria. It's evil, but there's no comparison with those two. And I wanted to say this last part in understanding. Right now, reported by CBN News, even this morning, Christians are saying, who are being persecuted all throughout this Arab Spring that our current leadership is promoting, they're saying that America is being totally unresponsive to the persecuted Jew and the persecuted Christian. That's a sign. That's a sign when you see the journey and how you end up in the ovens. It's a sign. And they said that the American bombing in Syria will embolden the opposition, which is radical Islam, and they'll want to establish a caliphate. And as soon as the bombs hit, they said they'll begin to retaliate by killing Christians. It's immediate. That's how you know. It's just real. It's not that complicated. It is complicated if your mind's blind and you're not a believer. But if you're a believer and you get right with God, you can see what's going on. This is a war between God and Satan. And Satan wants to kill as many people and destroy as many people as he can, many of the people, before they make a decision to follow God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. And why in the world would you punch Israel? Why in the world would you punch a Christian when America comes and retaliates against your king, supposedly, for gassing someone? The reason why is any reason to take out any Christian, any Jew, anytime, anywhere will be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And CBN News reports as they're interviewing the Christians in Syria, they're saying, listen, please don't do this. America, please don't do this, because the second that bomb hits, they're going to take us out. And they're the ones saying, this is not a battle between men. This is a battle between Satan and God. Don't get him. Don't do this. Don't do this. And it's like, oh, Lord.
Wow.
You know, you want to pray for our president and pray. I mean, he's probably got 10,000 people just bombarding him with all kinds of ideas and concepts. And this I can imagine the principalities pushing on leaders around the world and our president. But you know what? God loves him, and God can speak to him. He can change us in a moment's notice. And just as we just saw, you know, all of a sudden it just goes to Congress. And Congress is your representative, and things can turn. But understand this. This is what the Syrian people were saying. The Syrian Christians were saying just this morning. It was reported on the CBN News that they're saying the second you bomb, in other words, if you stand up as a Christian in America and say, listen, we don't want to be able to spend our money over there, or we say bomb, 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 either side of that equation, and all of a sudden Jesus gets persecuted, the body of Christ gets persecuted, think not a miracle will suddenly be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right before Israel went into captivity, Israel said, who is this people to come against such a great nation? And I was listening to Secretary of State John Kerry speak before the nation and the world about Syria. And this is the one statement he made, which is drove that home. He said, America is the only irreplaceable nation in the world.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, we're gone.
That's it, the end.
Did you just say we're the only irreplaceable nation in the world? Dear God, we just ask you right now that you would forgive us for that statement. That you would forgive, and you could take us down, God, in a moment's notice. We know we stand because you gave us. You said you'd look for someone to stand in the gap and repent on behalf of the nation. We repent right now for that.
Yeah.
We know that we live and breathe, and our nation stands because you let us stand. And we want to be those men that say, God, forgive us for that pride. That's not true. You're God, and above you, there is none other. Have mercy on us as a nation, God. End abortion, end this crazy Islamic embrace. Bring a third of great awakening to this nation. So what we're seeing is what we've been telling you, JJ, the Jews and Jesus. This whole thing, and I'm giving you a biblical perspective of Syria right now. Wouldn't it be wild if you're actually cheering on your own destruction? Because when the Lord showed me before John Kerry did what he did, God showed me John Kerry prophetically about 24 hours prior to that in a vision, a dream, showed me it. And I knew what time it was going to happen. Did I not say, let's look at 106. Yeah. Boom, it happened 106. He said it. That if this thing goes down, If this thing goes down, I really believe immediately there's going to be a class adjustment, and Jews and Christians are going to be in the bottom class of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we already are in the hearts of those who don't love God.
All right.
But there'll be, I saw us on the bottom floor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For this one, it's important what's going on. It's very important. It's not just a whatever. It's very, very important. World War I and World War II started with much less. And World War III is right here looming. It's almost like the whole world's being pushed into some world so they can reconstruct the world. As George Soros says, we've got to, these borders are in the way. So when you're thinking about this, think about the context of where we are. We're in the valley of decision. We're in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Think about this scripture. We're surrounding Israel. You heard his own words to the United Nations. You can go back and listen on the VFN torch. Hear our president say, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to fight against every negative type of Islam in the world. He embraces the Muslim Brotherhood. For some reason, he doesn't see them the way historically that they were seen. He empowers them in Cairo. He fuels what Iran's doing in Syria, understanding that they're the ones fighting against King Assad. And all of this whole thing surrounding Israel, including us, it appears, are embracing the narrative of the religion Islam. After booing Jerusalem as the capital, booing God, 12 months ago today, mind you, in the Mediterranean, with the same Russian Navy, we're floating, our boats are floating in the Mediterranean right near the very same Navy that was pictured behind them when they made this statement, when they were choosing a leader, our current leader. It was the Russian Navy. Mm-hmm. I mean, all this stuff's converging. I'm sorry. This is it. This is the thing. But you know what? If you get into the Word and read the ways of God, we still can cry out to God. We can still say, Lord, we've sinned. It's us. This is happening not because evil men are getting away with things. God's allowing evil men to have their way because we have sinned against Him. It's all about Israel. It's a war against God. It's not a war against Allah. It's a war against God who gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. It's about Jesus saving your soul. God loves you so much that He has a plan for you, but the devil hates God and hates God's people, and he hates everybody who's created in the image and the likeness of Him, which is mankind. But I got news for you. This awesome, loving God is also a judge. And He's going to bring every nation into the valley of decision, the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that's where we are right now. I never would have thought America would have joined in with this, but we're right in the middle of it. And this is what He says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. And I want you to have all this in context when you're opening and you're posting things on your Facebook and you're talking to your representatives. And I encourage you to give them this. Go into the VFN Torch and send your representative this conversation. This is what God says. He says, I will gather all nations and I'll bring them down. I'll bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the valley of decision. And He said, I will put them on trial. I mean, God, imagine standing on trial before God. I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people amongst the nation and they divided my land. Isn't it interesting 12 months ago, church, that the conversation of our leader and the choice of our leader was, will we divide Jerusalem from Israel? Mm-hmm. And the Arab Americans stand up, profile the pastor that brings it up. They boo God, they boo Jerusalem. The military, Russian military fleet that was right behind them when they're proclaiming this, when Vastai opens up the entire thing, and all of a sudden, 12 months later, we are floating out there with that picture, embracing Islam, which is a hater of Israel, has no problem with pushing them in the sea. And we're like, dear God, have mercy on us. Everything's about to shift. If, in fact, we fire that shot across the bow, which God, if you can go back and listen, that's what God did. This is all God. Mm-hmm. If we fire that shot across the bow, then our empire is going to suffer. The American nation is going to suffer. I can't tell you how, but I can tell you, yes, the world as we know it will be totally different. I want to say right before we close out about the G20. The G20 is taking place. It was built and established based on the economy that 20 countries would get together, 20 countries' leaders would get together and determine which way that the economy would go in the world. Because remember, thank you, Woodrow, that in the context, he said, listen, if we tie the economies together, then we'll never have a world war again. And 100 years ago, almost to the day, And isn't that amazing? 100-year plan.
Brilliant.
And so, if you remember, if you've been listening to the prophetic words, and you can find them on BFN Torch Gun to Prophecy, that Deuteronomy Deuteronomy's grandson was given a vision by God. And the vision we talked about was that China, Russia, and North Korea got into a covenant and said, listen, why should the American dollar be the dominant figure in the world today? And think of the journey that we've got to this one point, because the G20 is meeting right now. And guess where they're meeting? They're meeting in Russia. And as they were going, and all these kings and presidents or whatever are coming to discuss the money, the currency, that's what they're called to do. Guess who was leading them all? Who was leading all the nations financially in this walk? The president of Russia, Putin. See him right there?
Mm-hmm.
You can see this on the VFN torch. And guess who was last in the procession? The very last one of all the nations to come along. And the church, we got to get over this coincidence stuff. We're going to coincidence ourselves right up under some gas showers and some ovens in the future. You got to understand that if you read God's word, these things happen, even if they don't even know they're happening. America was trailing in the economies of the world. We had a visual of what was going on. Russia has been humiliating our country, humiliating our president. It's a Russian base reportedly in Syria that they're really wanting to hit. And Syria has, Russia has Russian military hanging right out there outside Syria and say, reportedly, according to sources, that they're talking about putting an iron curtain, right?
Yeah,
around
shield
to be able to protect them the way we put one around the former Ottoman Empire area, Turkey. And now here we are. There's your visual. You'll be able to see this visual right now, the G20. And the G20, like I said, represents the economies. And you're looking at that word just kind of unfold. Mm-hmm. And see, pride is so blinding that when you have it, I mean, that's why you need people in your life, because you have no idea that you're moments away from your fall. That's why we have to keep our heads low and the Lord high and spend time with him and let people know our life, because pride comes before a fall. And here's the president of the United States of America, one nation who used to be under God, indivisible, liberty with all the most powerful economic power in the history of the world, one that used to stand with Israel and that Russia would fear, and radical Islamic Muslims would fear, trailing behind all the kings, because that's all the kings, it's all the leaders. That's all the leaders from all the nations. And if we're going to look, you can look at the picture and see, and you can watch the whole procession right there. It takes a long time. Every nation comes by. And out of the middle, like, where's America? You're looking for America. Where's America? Where's America? Where's America?
Mm-hmm.
And way back, where everybody's already entered into the dinner already, all of a sudden comes America.
Wow.
And we don't even know, right in our very eyes, the fulfillment that we're being humbled as a nation, that God has established a set man because we have rebelled against him. We have to turn back to God. If you have not yet watched on VFN TV or heard, is America under God's judgment? What do we need to do? You can at VFNTV.com. You need to get the truth into you so you can respond, because all God wants us to do is turn to him and say, dear God, I see it now. I've sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. Restore me. Save me. Save my family. Save America.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.